We are joined in the media center by our top fuel winner here at the Virginia NHRA Nationals, Steve Torrence of the Capco Contractors team. This is his fourth 2018 victory. Last win was in Charlotte. And Steve now has 20 career wins. Took the win by taking down Doug Coletta in the final round, Antron Brown in the semis, Terry McMillan in second round, and Scott Palmer in the first round. Cars crew chief by Richard Hogan and Bobby Lagana. This is your 200th race, Steve, coming out here. Richmond was the place you first entered Top Fuel, and now your most recent win. You are the current Top Fuel points leader. Please take this.
And Steve, state your name. Steve, of course, talk a little bit about your race day. Starting out with the final round, you double bulbed Doug Coletta. Was that intentional?
Absolutely not. And I just told Alan Reinhardt, I said, you know, you're probably going to smear this all around, but I really didn't mean to double bulb. The thing is,
nobody believes you.
I know.
Look at them all.
Yeah, they don't believe me, so I'm not even going to go through the story. But it did surprise me when I did it again in the final. I'm like, oh crap, what am I going to do now? Don't screw this up again. But you know, good Lord just looked after my butt, and it didn't go the wrong way. And we went out there, Richard and Bobby, they've done really well all weekend. We didn't qualify as high as we would want to, but at the end of the day, we were in the right spot to win the race. So I was proud of those guys, and they went out there and threw down, went 81 in the final, and you know, just did their job all day long.
Talk a little bit about the challenges of the weekend, that it was the hottest racetrack we've run on all year long, but an extremely smooth and near-perfect surface. You were able to run some really big numbers in qualifying and then in the finals when you needed it.
Yeah, it was hotter than donut grease at this place, man. I mean, I sweat down. I'm probably 5-6 pounds lighter than I was when I got here, which I could definitely afford to be. I told the guys earlier, this is one of the best racetracks I've ever been down. This thing's like glass. You go out through there, it's so smooth. And, you know, you could see when it cooled off and it wasn't so hot, you could run really well. So it's too bad that it was sweltering here while we were racing, because I think you could have seen some really good numbers. I enjoyed coming back here. This was what you said was my 200th race, but this is where every bit of it started back in 06. I came here with Dexter Tuttle's team, and it was a eerie feeling coming out underneath the tower. Like I said earlier, I haven't gotten nervous in a long time driving one of these things, and I came out and all those emotions came back from my first race ever, looking up there and seeing those exact grandstands. And you know, it's a long ways away, and I kind of put this place out of my mind and forgot about it, and you come back and it's fun. I mean, and you couldn't script it any better. 200 races, 20th win, back to where every bit of this started. And I mean, it was just a good weekend altogether.
Big win against Antron Brown in the semis. He was uncharacteristically upset down there, and you guys had a bit of a moment. We know that you are great friends, but you have been on the other side of it. What do you think was going on with Antron?
I know exactly what was going on with Antron. I've been in that situation racing him more than a couple times. So you're more upset, you're more mad at yourself, because you know that you go up there and you gotta. I mean, when we race each other, we bring our A game. He and I are probably the fiercest competition that I have, but my best friend. So, you know, we went up there, and you don't want to win a race like that. I mean, we want to go down there and it be one or two thou at the end, and both of us left on time, and then the tuners had to make the decision. But I caught myself. It was a long tree. I felt it. I felt my body wanted to go. It wasn't time to go. I couldn't see the light, but I knew that it was like I wanted to go. So I heard his car rev up. I looked over. And, you know, I was 100 on the tree, because I'm going through all this thought process in my mind instead of reacting. But I see the red light. I look down, and I see the wind light come on my side, and it was a huge sigh of relief. I'm thanking God the whole way that I wasn't doing that, you know, because it was time to go. It was just one of those situations where your foot goes. We drive these things like a machine, and sometimes the machine just malfunctions.
You guys are all wearing cowboy hats. We are not in Texas. What is going on?
So about a month and a half, 2 months ago, the guys come down, spent the week with me, and we went out and fed cows. We went out and had a few beers, and they all decided that they wanted to be bull riders. So I took them over to a buddy of mine, Robson Palermo, who is a professional bull rider, and they changed their mind real quick after the first guy rode. They said, nah, man, this is a terrible idea, but we do need cowboy hats. So I called Resistol. The lady there at Resistol was ever so gracious to send us some cowboy hats, and she asked, "Well, what about the shape? And how do you want this? How do you want that?" And I said, "You just shape them, because these guys don't know that they even have a shape. They'll be wearing a round dome and a flat hat like they were in the 1880s." So we got them fixed up, and instead of giving it to them just whenever they came in, I said, "Guys, we're gonna put these in the box. We're gonna put them in the trailer, and whenever we win a race, we're debuting these cowboy hats." So this is the first opportunity we've had to do it, and I just, you know, thanks to Resistol for doing it. And those boys, they look pretty good in them. I got to get Bob helped out. He's still got a sticker hanging off of it.
There you go. All right, questions from the members of the media.
Steve, you debuted here, but what does it mean to win here the inaugural event, even though they previously raced here?
Oh, it's absolutely huge. I mean, you know, we don't race at E-Town. And who knows if that's going to come back or not, but we won the last one of those. We won the first one of these in a long time. So, I mean, it's just those little tick notes that you get to put on your resume for your career that you were able to accomplish, and it means a lot. I mean, I told my guys I'm going to fly in a few days early and just come and check this place out. I mean, there's a lot of history and a lot of neat things here. So it's a big deal to win here. I enjoy being here and looking forward to coming back.
You know, you didn't do anything terribly notable in qualifying. You were bouncing around in the order a little bit, and that's uncharacteristic for you. Was there any point in the weekend when you said, this may not be my weekend?
No. We were running really good on Q2, and we just had a bad decision. One of the guys thought that he saw the car with a hole out, and he shut it off, and nothing was wrong with it. So it was actually going out there and running 79 or 80 or, you know, somewhere in that area. And we just shut the car off. And I knew exactly what had happened when it happened. And then we went out yesterday and were able to run good on Q3 and Q4. So I had plenty of confidence. And, you know, Chicago, where we go out and we run low ET and we run well every round, it gives you that false sense of security. And you go out there and you smoke the tires against Luigi, and he hadn't won a round since like 06, I think. So, you know, those are the times that you get a little nervous when everything's going so good. It's got to turn. And then when everything's not going the best, I mean, it's got to turn the other way too, but it's not like you're going to fall as far.
When you had Clay Milliken kind of breathing down your neck, and then and Leah and Tony, and then they're all out by the second round, and I could see a sense of energy in you there.
Yeah, you know, I've said it a couple times, the points really don't even matter till the end of the year, because I've been in that situation where they threw them all away, and there you are scratching and clawing to try to get back to where you're at. But they're all going to go away at Indy, but you still want to win every race you can. You still want to have that cushion going into that race so you can start first. So we do look at the points. We don't pay a whole lot of attention to them, but you still want to win all these races. If you win everything, then the championship takes care of itself. So that's what we're doing, or we're trying to do. We're not doing it. We're trying.
And you've got an advantage against Doug Coletta. Does that surprise you? I mean, he's been around forever.
I don't have an advantage against any one of these guys. I mean, these things are like bombs. They'll go off at any minute, and one of them will be, you know, one of them will win a race this weekend and then struggle like crazy the next weekend. I mean, look at Clay. Clay won the last two races and then came out here and had a rough time, you know. So you never really can. These aren't something you're going to bet on. This isn't a real solid wager if you're going to say, well, that guy's done really good for the last two, and look at him now, he's going to win, and you know, you go out first round or don't qualify. So I wouldn't say I have an advantage against Doug. That guy's been around a long time and won more rounds and more races than anybody and not won a championship. So I mean, he's still a salty individual.
Okay, thank you very much, Steve. Congratulations on your win.
Thank you.